Hi, this is John Edmiston with Insights for Eternity, where we expound God's Word and keep an eye on heaven. God bless you. You can find all you need on our website at eternity.church. Now, in this episode, we're going to learn more from the wonderful Word of God. Hi, this is John Edmiston with Insights for Eternity. Welcome to another broadcast. Today we'll be continuing our series on downloading grace from heaven, and we'll be looking at grace and temptation, how God's grace can help us to overcome temptation and live a holy life. Let's pray. Father in heaven, open your word so we can understand wonderful things from your law. Teach us in the inner man. Open our spiritual eyes and our spiritual ears, and help us to win the struggle against temptation. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's start with a verse, Matthew 26, verse 41. And it's during the Garden of Gethsemane. And Jesus says this to the disciples. Stay awake and pray, so that you won't enter into temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So here they were in the Garden of Gethsemane, and Jesus is praying with mighty tears, and he's full of sorrow, and he feels a great struggle in his spirit, and he's battling against powers and principalities. It's just before the cross, and he asks the disciples to pray with him, and they could not because their flesh was weak. They had good intentions, the spirit was willing, but the flesh was weak. They'd just eaten the Passover meal, they were full of lamb and good food. They'd had some wine to drink, they'd drunk from the cup, and they were sleepy, and they were drowsy, and it was late at night, and they failed spiritually. So when the high priests and the soldiers and the people with clubs and spears and swords came, they either fought, like Peter did, or they fled, like the other disciples did. They didn't have a place of spiritual poise and power. They were unable to rise up like Jesus did and say, I am he. And at the words of Jesus, all the soldiers fell backward. So Jesus had power and poise, and the disciples were not spiritually strong enough for the hour. And they failed, and they betrayed Jesus, and they ran away from him. There was not a moment that they could look back on and say, we did well spiritually. Instead of doing well, they did badly. And this afflicts us as normal human beings, as Christians. We want to do well spiritually, but when the moment comes, we're not prayed up, we're not in the spirit, and we enter into some kind of sin. Our mouth says things that it should not say, or sexual sin overcomes people, or financial sin overcomes people. Some sin comes in when we're not ready. Our spirit, our conscience is willing, but our flesh is weak, and we need the grace of God to strengthen us in the inner man so that we can overcome the flesh and walk in the Spirit. For it says in Galatians 5:16, walk in the Spirit and you shall in no way carry out the desires of the flesh. So we've got to be able to walk in the Spirit so that we can overcome the desires of the flesh and not give in to temptation. Well, what are some of the strong temptations that Christians face? Number one temptation that we all face is financial temptation, the desire to get rich. Let's look at 1 Timothy 6, verses 9 to 11. But people who want to get rich keep toppling into temptation and are trapped by many stupid and harmful desires that plunge them into destruction and ruin. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, in their eagerness to get rich, have wandered away from the faith and caused themselves a lot of pain. But you, man of God, must flee from all these things. Instead, you must pursue righteousness, godliness, faithfulness, love, endurance, and gentleness. So it says that people who love money, who head in that direction, end up stumbling, they fall for Ponzi schemes, they get into bad investments, they take shortcuts they should not take,
And they end up wrapped up in the love of money and the love of prosperity. And soon their love of God dies and they wander away from the faith, pursuing this and pursuing that. And we've all seen that happen. We're not to pursue the love of money. Instead, we're to pursue righteousness, godliness, faithfulness, love, endurance, and gentleness. So God wants us to pursue the high and the holy things and to leave this world behind a little bit. Of course, you still have to make a living and we have to provide for our children and our families. Money is still a reality in our life. But the love of money, the clinging to money, the pursuing of money as if it's the main thing in life, that will ruin us again and again and again. And financial temptation can lay hold of us so that when things are tight and when things are difficult, as they sometimes are in ministry, people can start blaming God and getting angry at God and getting hurt at God. And when God doesn't turn up financially as they wish, they wander away and find another religion of some sort, or they enter into the prosperity gospel and they fall away from the true Christian faith. We are to avoid falling into financial temptation by pursuing righteousness instead. We are to look at the invisible instead of at the visible. So the number one way that we can avoid temptation is to focus on the invisible benefits of God instead of the visible temptations of this world. Let's go to 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 to 17. 1 John's towards Revelation. It's one of the small books at the back of your Bible. 1 John 2, 15 to 17. Stop loving the world and the things that are in the world. If anyone persists in loving the world, the Father's love is not in him. For everything that is in the world, the desire for fleshly gratification, the desire for possessions, and worldly arrogance, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world and its desires are fading away. But the person who does God's will remains forever. So if you do God's will, if you're focused on the heavenly things, if you're focused on doing what your heavenly Father wants, you will abide forever. You will abide in heaven and have a great heavenly reward. But if you love the things of this world, the things of the flesh, the pride of life, which it calls worldly arrogance, and the desire for possessions, the things of this world, you get glued to this world, to this planet, to this moment where you have to have the thing you have to have. And in that case, the love of the Father is not in you. You're not loving God, you're loving the things of this world. And if you're going to love God, you have to let go of the things of this world. God will give them to you as you need them. But hankering after them, grasping onto them, saying that your flesh has to be satisfied, you have to be comfortable, you have to have that relationship that is inappropriate, or you have to be at this position in society in order to feel good about yourself. No, you don't. You need the love of the Father. You need the love of God. Now, all the things of the world, they dazzle us. It's like walking into a casino or walking into a bar, and there's things that are glittering and entertaining people. But those things are not good for your soul. Those things will destroy your eternal life. You will not find any spiritual strength in hankering after the things of this world, the glistening things that the devil puts in front of your eyes and say, bow down and worship me and I'll give you all the things of the world. That was a temptation that came upon Jesus. And Jesus refused it and said that he's only going to worship the Father who was in heaven and he's not going to have anything to do with the devil. He said, get behind thee, Satan. So we don't want to love the world or the things of this world. We need to flee from them. And the Bible tells us a bit about fleeing from temptation. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 18 to 20, it tells us to flee from sexual temptation. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 18 to 20. Keep on running away from sexual immorality. Any other sin that a person commits is outside his body. But the person who sins sexually sins against his own body. You know that your body is a sanctuary of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God. You do not belong to yourselves because you are bought for a price. Therefore, glorify God with your bodies. You see, you're a temple of the Holy Spirit, and your body is sacred to God. And you're supposed to know that. That's supposed to be a fundamental part of your Christian faith. And you're supposed to know that God's Holy Spirit dwells in you and you are God's person. You belong to God. You've been bought with a price. And so you've got to dedicate your body and your sexual desires to God and not to random associations, random relationships going from one person's bed to the next person's bed. Having a large number of sexual conquests is not a godly thing. You're to have one woman married to one man for life. That's what the Bible says. You're not to fool around sexually. You're not to give in to sexual immorality. Now, you're not to watch any of those awful videos on the internet. You're to have a pure heart and a pure mind because your body belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. And your body was bought with his precious blood. And as a result of that purchase, you will be resurrected on the last day. So don't be shameful. Don't be involved in sexual immorality. Run the other way. So if someone is tempting you, cut off that relationship and flee from it. If there's a place that you go to or a website that you go to that might destroy you in some way, break that off now. Block that website. Just don't go there or don't go to that computer or don't go and view it on your phone. You must be pure for God. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 10:13 and 14. No temptation has overtaken you that is unusual for human beings. But God is faithful, and he will not allow you to be tempted beyond your strength. Instead, along with the temptation, he will also provide a way out, so that you may be able to endure it. And so, my dear friends, keep on running away from idolatry. Now, the context of this, it could have been sexual temptation, but this is the temptation to magic, idols, witchcraft, and juju. And people are often pressured into going into ceremonies that are occult in nature. Oh, that's our culture. That's our religion. That's the ceremony that we've got going on at this time of year. You have to come with us and do this and do that and eat this food and give this libation and bow down before this idol. And there's a tremendous social pressure to go along with witchcraft, to go along with voodoo, to go along with some form of juju or magic, or to bow down to idols, or to go along with masonry or other occult activities. And no Christian is to go along with occult activities. And God says he's going to give you a way out of that temptation to bow down to idols. You'll always be able to find a way, even if it's you just have to leave the village for a while or while those ceremonies are going on and then come back after they're over. God will provide a way of escape. And you are to find that way of escape and say, Lord, I'm never going to bow down to an idol. I'm never going to use a witch doctor. I'm never going to engage in juju or magic. I'm never going to use a magician to cast a curse on anybody. I'm not going to go for some spell or some blessing. Even if you're in a desperate situation, even if you desperately want children or you desperately want someone healed and you haven't got money for a doctor, don't rely on the witch doctor. Go and find someone to pray for you and to heal you and to help you in your medical situation or your childbearing situation. Do not go to the forces of evil. God will provide you with a way of escape from the temptation of bowing down to idols or being involved in occult activities. 2 Timothy 2:22. Flee from youthful passions. Instead, pursue righteousness, faithfulness, love, and peace together with those who call upon the Lord from a pure heart. Now, when we're young, we have youthful passions. We go up and down. Our soul is unstable within us. And we tend to give in to those youthful passions. Our soul can go out from us and do foolish and crazy things. In the book of Proverbs, it talks about a young man who walks past the house of a woman who is immoral. And his soul goes out to her. It sort of lusts after the woman. And he's not strong. He's not under control. So he foolishly heads to her door. And then his life is ruined later on. Her husband comes back and says that he will pierce your liver with an arrow, meaning that he's in big trouble. So the young man, following after the desires of his heart, gets into immorality that then destroys his life. And this happens because we can form false attachments, mad romantic attachments, lustful attachments to people, to places, to leaders, to women, to men, or whatever, when we're young, because we're not in control of ourselves. And we're to flee these youthful lusts. We're to take control of our soul. You are to be a disciplined person. You're not going to let your feelings lead you here and lead you there and bounce you from one crazy relationship to the next, or one foolish job from the next, or you say, okay, I'm going to give up my university course and become a rock star or something like that. And you follow after these youthful passions and crazy ideas. Okay, that might have worked for some person, but it's not working for you. You need to flee from that nonsense and pursue righteousness, faithfulness, love, and peace together with those who call on the Lord with a pure heart. You're to purify your heart, and you're to take discipline over your mind and your feelings and your bodies. It's very, very important that you take charge of your soul. You are in charge of you, no one else. You are in charge of you. And you're not going to be bossed around by feelings and by moods and by circumstances. You are in charge of you. And God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is in charge of you. And the Father is in charge of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says that. And so we need to be disciplined people who are in charge of our actions, of our reactions, of our thoughts and our feelings. And we are to flee youthful passions that will take us astray into folly and into madness. Well, how do we do that? We need to focus our mind on God and the Spirit. In Romans 8, 4 to 6, it says this, Romans 8, 4 to 6, in order that the law's requirement would be accomplished in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh think about the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit about the things of the Spirit. For the mindset of the flesh is death, but the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. If you want life and peace, you've got to set your mind on the Spirit. Because if you set your mind on the flesh, you'll get drawn into temptation, into sin, into crazy attitudes, into bad moods, into strife, into all sorts of conduct that is self-defending and crazy. You don't want your mind set on your flesh or on your ego, because your ego is always reacting to the world around in very negative ways. Instead, you need to set your mind on God. You need to set your mind on the Spirit and on the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, and self-control. You need to have a patient endurance of life's circumstances, and that will rescue you from many things. God is your Savior. He saves you from all the lusts of the flesh. And when you focus on God, when you focus on the Spirit, your life will be full of life and peace. Now, setting your mind is a discipline. You've got to set your mind on the Spirit. You've got to be in charge of where your mind is going, and then you set it on the Holy Ghost. You're going to say, mind, I'm setting you on the Spirit. I'm not letting you bounce all around the room. And so you've got to take charge of your stinking thinking. You've got to take charge of your mind and set it on the things of God. And that's why praise and worship and Christian music and reading the Bible and prayer and going to church is important. Those things will help you to set your mind on the Spirit. Let's go to Colossians 3 and verse 1. So if you have been raised with Christ, seek what is above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on what is above, not on what is on the earth below. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you will also be revealed with him in glory. Your life, your deep eternal life, the true you, the person that is really you and the person you will discover when you go to heaven, that person is a spiritual being who is hidden in Christ with God. You're a spiritual being in an earthly body. And eventually your earthly body will be resurrected and be compatible with your spiritual being. But if you're born again, you're a new creation. You're a spiritual creation. And Christ dwells in you, and the Holy Spirit dwells in you, and you are being formed into a son or a daughter of the living God for all eternity. So your mind does not belong here on this earth, on the temptations and demands of this life. You are to set your mind on Christ, who is above, at the right hand of the Father. He is seated at the right hand of God, and we have authority and we have life in him. And as you set your mind on Christ, then the temptations of this world will fade away. They won't have the pull that they used to have. They won't be able to drag you aside and into temptation and into foolish lust, because your mind will be set on things above. Well, how do you set your mind on things above? Firstly, you decide to do it. You make a decision about where you're going to put your mind. Instead of putting your mind on a video game, instead of putting your mind on foolishness and jokes and movies and TV, you decide that you're going to set your mind on things above. So you're going to hang out with other people that want to set their mind on things above. If you're going to hang out with drunks who sit around telling rude stories in a bar somewhere, then that's not going to help your spiritual life. You need to hang out and be with people who are serious about God, who want to study the scriptures, who want to pray together, who want to get together to have a good time in the Lord and to do good deeds that God has prepared beforehand for them to do. So choose your friends wisely, because they will help you to set your mind on the Spirit and to set your mind on things above. But also you need a daily quiet time. You need a daily time where you go aside from all the cares of this world and open up your Bible or listen to this broadcast, and you start thinking about God. You start setting your mind on doing the will of God, being like God, being a loving, kind, good human being, and deciding that that's what you're going to think about. You're not going to think about your country's politics that gets you angry and upset. Though, of course, if God has called you to be involved in politics, by all means do so. But you're not going to let your mind drift to the anxieties of this world. Instead, you're going to set your mind on Christ. Okay, now we're coming to some other verses. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 9. The book of Philippians tells us a lot about what we can do with our minds and how we can have peaceful minds that lead us out of the temptations of this world and into the glory of the next. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 9. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, through prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any moral excellence and if there is any praise, dwell on these things. Do what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. So you see, starts off, he says, be anxious for nothing, because our anxieties take us away from God and into the immediacy of the flesh. They take us into the immediacy where we say, I've got to solve this. I've got to solve this problem now. And here's a solution, but it's a shortcut solution. It's a bad solution. You don't want those bad shortcut solutions. You need the peace of God so that your mind is steady within you so you can make good decisions. So how do we get to that peace of God? How do we get out to that place where we're peaceful and we're strong and we're good and we're making good decisions and we're not in the place of panic all the time? It says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. We pray to God. Bring every single worry, every single struggle that you've got in your heart and your mind to God. He is not going to be angry with you, even if you're praying about something you think that is very small. Perhaps you need a new pair of shoes. Well, ask God for a new pair of shoes. He will help you. God is your friend. That is not too small a thing. And you thank God that God's going to take care of your needs, of your shoes, of your food, of your drink, of your financial situation, and of your family, and of much bigger issues as well. So, with prayer and supplication, go to God and let your requests be made known to God. And he will listen. He is kind and he is good and he answers our prayers. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. If you're going to God with the intent of doing the will of God, and you say, God, this anxiety is dragging me away from your will. I'm full of fear. I'm struggling. I have all these situations in life, and I want to be filled with the Spirit instead. I want to walk in your grace. I want your kindness to come to me so I can get up in the morning and do the will of God. But Lord, there's this financial situation, there's this situation, a health situation. Please help me now so that my mind will be free to worship you. And as you seek the goodness and glory of God, as you seek God's will, God will answer your prayers. And God's not just there to supply your needs. He's not just a vending machine, but he will supply your needs as you pursue his will. As we pursue God, as we set our mind on things above, what are we to think about? Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable. Set our mind on good things, not on bad things. Don't think about taking revenge. Don't think about grubby and terrible things. Don't let your mind wander off into the paths of rage and resentment. Don't let your mind wander into unforgiveness and all the things that are wrong with life or wrong with your country or wrong with your family or wrong with your mother-in-law or whatever else. When your mind goes in those directions, it just gets filled with anxiety and stress. So as we look at this, we have to go and review what we've learned so far about fleeing from temptation. We can flee from temptation, number one, by setting our mind on the things of God. When our mind is set in the right direction, we are filled with life and peace. When our mind is set in the wrong direction, the mindset on the flesh is death, and temptation will lay hold of us. So first of all, you've got to make the decision to set your mind in the right place. Secondly, you've got to put your running shoes on. You've got to flee temptation, especially the temptation to use witchcraft or idolatry of any sort, and you're to run away from sexual temptation, and you're to avoid financial temptation, but instead pursue the higher and better things of God. Also, you're not to let the things of this world corrupt you. You're not to give in to the devil, to the desires of this life, to arrogant pride, and to all the other things that we got warned about in 1 John. Instead, you're to keep your soul pure for God. And as your soul is kept pure for God, as you say that you are consecrated to God and not to this world, as you walk as a pilgrim through this world, as you change your attitude to the things that you once wanted so much, then temptation will not have its grip on you. If you decide that money is not the final be-all and end-all of everything, but the approval of God is, then money will lose its grip on you. If you decide that sex is not the be-all and end-all of everything, but that God is, then sexual temptation will lose its grip on you. And if you think that approval of the world and of the rich people of this world is not as big a deal as it used to be, then the approval of this world will lose its grip on you. You have to set God first, and you have to bring all your anxieties to him with praise and thanksgiving, knowing that he is a good God and that you can trust him for all your needs. So that's how grace operates. And remember, God will not let any temptation overcome you. He knows all about your struggles. He knows all about the things that you face, and he's not going to let you fall into sin. When God gives you a means of escape, take it. This is John Edmiston signing off from Insights for Eternity. God bless and have a great day.
Hi, that was an episode of Insights for Eternity, and I'm Pastor John Edmiston from Eternity Christian Fellowship. You can find lots of resources to help you in your Christian Bible study at our website, eternity.church. Our website again, eternity.church. Thank you and be blessed in the Lord this week.